Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde. Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher. Live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue. This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance on 94.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
Tuesday edition. The Gabe Neitzel Day 2 edition.
Less beard talk than yesterday.
I'm sworn to secrecy. I'd love to tell you all about the Aaron Rodgers story, but I'm sworn to secrecy edition. And the what's the worst insult you've ever tried on a friend or teammate? Because calling someone as overrated as Mike Trout, am I getting that right?
Yeah, you're not wrong. That is a thing that was said on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning.
We'll explain momentarily. Edition of Wilde and Tausch. A 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, and of course, WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the ESPN Madison studios. And from the, let me get this straight, Gruber Law Offices, One Call, That's All Studios at The Avenue.
Nailed it.
Where you can get milkshakes at the 3rd Street Market Hall and then distribute them to your Marquette-loving teammates. You hear him on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. You hear him on ESPN National Radio. You hear him everywhere. He is Gabe Neitzel, our cousin sub of the day. Gabe, hi.
Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today, buddy?
You know, you and Chewy and Ashton brought some joy to my morning.
You know, that's all we try to do, Jason. That's all we're trying to do every morning from 7 to 9 on 94.5 ESPN. Somehow, today was just the three of us idiots. Sometimes it's, you know, Jen's only like half of an idiot, you know, so I feel like three and a half when she's there. Doesn't happen to be there, has some college game day responsibilities this week, but, you know, the three idiots. We're just trying to provide joy in the morning. That's all we're trying to do.
So, you guys got into a bit of a dust-up before I joined you, because apparently Chewy believes that he is a very good cook. Is that an accurate depiction?
That would be an accurate depiction. Chewy thinks that he is a better cook than our producer, Ashton Rotman. And Ashton has filled in on this show before. If you're unfamiliar with Ashton, who is the producer of our show, he also owns a food truck called Rot's Hots with his mother. They're about to enter their second season. They've had a couple of events already. And, you know, so Ashton, you know, he's usually baking things as well, brings them into the office. Mm-hmm. You know, I think on Thursday he's going to be bringing in some sort of cookie. So Chewy thought that maybe Ashton was a little too one-dimensional because he thinks that all he does is bake, decided that anything that he makes in the food truck is really more just heating it up so it's not actual cooking, and Chewy thinks he's a better cook than Ashton. And then, by lashing out because he's Chewy, decided to say that Ashton was the Mike Trout of hot dogs and that he was overrated because Mike Trout is overrated.
Is Mike Trout overrated?
No, not even a little bit.
Like, his teams have not won.
Correct.
As much as you'd like.
Well, I mean, again, but in baseball, it's tough. In baseball, it's really hard. It's not like, you know, basketball, you got that one guy that can really carry you. In football, you get the quarterback that can carry you. In baseball, you need more than just one guy in the lineup because, you know, you got to be strong 1 through 9.
So is Ashton Rotman the Aaron Rodgers of food truck cooking?
I'm just relaying. I can't tell you the thought process that went into this for one Mark Chmura. I can only relay what he actually said.
Yeah, it's easy. Trout's never been to the playoffs. He's regarded as the best current baseball player, and he's never been to the postseason.
So he's Joe Thomas.
He has been to the postseason. He has played in a playoff game. It's just been a while.
Hmm.
The Angels made the postseason close to a decade ago.
He was
Mike Socha is their manager at the time. Well, I was offended for Ashton, but again, Ashton is such a nice fella. He just, unless after I hang up, he lashes out back at you guys. He is just, he's so nice. So he just sort of takes it, and that's fine. But Chewy did say that he thought Ashton needed to be knocked down a couple of pegs. And that yep. was where I took issue with him, because Ashton doesn't strike me as the in need of a peg knocking.
No, but that's
I have plenty of people in my life who fit that mold, but Ashton's not one of them.
Chewy just wants to knock everybody down pegs constantly. Like, that's just what he's doing. For example, last or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, I had a trip to Las Vegas with our friends at X Golf, Brookfield and Mequon, and we were playing in a Wisconsin PGA Pro-Am out there. I did not play well the first couple of days, and the first person to let me know that I did not play well because he decided to look up the results online was Mark Chmura. So this is just a guy who wants to constantly poke you at all times and try to knock anyone and everyone down a couple of pegs because he thinks it's funny.
Well, maybe that's just leadership. I've seen that executed by other people throughout their careers, complaining publicly.
All right, I'll let him know. I'll let Chewy know tomorrow that you called him a leader.
Yeah, he's a good teammate. So it was fun to catch up with you guys. I did bring this up, and I know I am not the first one to do so. I'm guessing you guys talked about it further after I departed. And that was Mark Murphy deciding that he needed to let everyone know at his little conference yesterday at Lambeau Field that he knows what's going on with Aaron Rodgers, and he'd love to tell you, but he's been sworn to secrecy. What are we doing here?
Do you think at some point Goody just wants to, like, cut out Murphy from the communication and just let him know when it's done? Like, he doesn't want to update him on a daily basis of what the talks are and everything going on with the Jets. I think that's what Goody would probably like to do, knows that he can't because Murphy runs everything because of the way that Murphy set up the organizational structure when he hired Brian Gutekunst. But my guess is, at this point, Goody would like to just kind of cut him out, get the job done, and then update him. Oh, by the way, Mark, we traded Aaron Rodgers today.
I think he'd like to put him in his own silo until this is over, is what I think. And again, he is the boss. He is the figurehead atop the organization. He's not the owner, because, as you well know, the Packers have 360,000 owners. No deep-pocketed, but that is his role. And I think we have seen, Gabe, that lots of actual owners certainly like the spotlight and like to talk about what they know and get their opinions out there, the Jerry Joneses. Lots of owners are like this. It's not like Mark Murphy is alone, other than the fact that he's not the actual owner. But in the wake of the WIAA State High School Girls Basketball Tournament comments and the struggle that I think a lot of people are having trying to figure out who really has the leverage, well, his comments did certainly not give them more leverage. And so now they have clearly decided, hey, shh. And I'm guessing that Jason Wallers, their PR director, had a talk with them and said, hey, let's just not talk about this publicly. Okay? That's all you got to do. And the guy who once at a similar convention at Lambeau Field told everyone that Aaron Rodgers was a complicated fella.
Mere days after writing that they shouldn't make any public comments about Aaron Rodgers.
Indeed.
He's a complicated fella.
Now he's up there saying that he's been sworn to secrecy. So I don't know if he wanted everyone to know that he'd been muzzled, but again, Jesse just said it in his Sports Center on ESPN Madison. You know, no movement, no news at this point, right? There does seem to be a stalemate. If I was advising him, I would just say, don't mention him at all. And you guys played the clip on your show, and the person, I don't know who asked him the question, because it was supposed to be a technology conference, not a free agency conference, but the guy said, you know, we got free agency, the draft coming up. He didn't even bring up Aaron Rodgers. And Mark Murphy still felt compelled to bring him up.
And probably laughed a little too hard at his own joke, for my taste. Uh-huh. Like, look, you can laugh at your own jokes. It's like a little chuckle. Like, you don't want to be bend over, you know, if you're telling jokes, you probably think of yourself as a little bit funny anyway. So it's fine if you laugh at your own jokes, you find yourself funny. But when you're guffawing over your own jokes, like, no, it's a step too far for me.
Is that your guffaw?
That's my guffaw, yes. No, not good.
No,
it was a good guffaw game. It was a good guffaw.
I need to compare it to the Murphy guffaw and figure out which one's which. All right, we've got a lot planned for today with Gabe in as our cousin sub of the day. Did you generate content for our show during your program as you do your second day of 5 hours of back-to-back radio programs?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we spent a lot of time on this, on our show as well, because we're, again, idiots. Chewy found it hilarious that there was a golfer by the name of Adam Shank who was leading the PGA tournament over the weekend. So we do power rankings every Tuesday, so he found a list of the funniest names in sports history, and we had a lot of fun with that. I don't think there's a lot of crossover there. You know, names like Dick Trickle, you know. Things of that nature.
Indeed. wait a minute. Is there some sort of international rule that Tuesday is the day that power rankings are done? Because we have done power rankings on Tuesdays. The ESPN.com NFL power rankings come out every Tuesday. Was there a law passed I'm not aware of?
Well, so that's why we started doing it on Tuesdays, because one of Chewy's favorite things to do during the football season is go to ESPN.com, find the power rankings that come out on Tuesday, and then have us guess who the top 10 teams are, and then instead of actually giving his own top 10, he just wants to criticize ESPN's top 10 and why they're wrong. Mm. It's one of his favorite things to do. So because ESPN's came out on Tuesday, we just keep it on Tuesday as he power ranks different things throughout the football offseason.
Jesse, was that the clip? Was that his laughter?
Sure was. All right, I'm sorry. New laugh track on Wildy and Tausch.
Oh, I feel bad for Tony Palmer, who used to be the official laugh track. He's been replaced now. Oh, yeah! So do we have the entirety of that? I'm sorry, I should have thrown to that earlier. That's my fault. For those of you who have no idea what we've been talking about, that's on me. So Mark Murphy at a conference at Lambeau Field yesterday, the folks at Fox 11 in Green Bay, I believe, were the ones who posted this clip, but he had a little, what appeared to be a Q&A session, and here is how it went.
Yeah, and you know, we've got no other news really going on. You know, I would love to tell you everything you want to know about Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, but I've under sworn secrecy not to say anything.
He even got a chuckle in before he delivered his final line.
Here's my problem, Jason, and my question for Packer fans is this. Can we trust this guy? Like, has he done anything in front of a microphone that has made you feel better about him and his tenure and his leadership with the Green Bay Packers? Because I didn't think much about Mark Murphy when Ted Thompson was the general manager. Like, he was just the president, and he did the things, and, you know, it's a funny picture of him going down the tubing hill, you know, with his boots in the air, and he's got the Packers beanie on as, you know, as that thing had opened.
But that is a great picture.
He has done, and I don't want to take away this, because he has done a good job on the business side of the Packers. the development of the Titletown District and the way things have really improved with the Hall of Fame inside the stadium and the Packers Pro Shop and all these different things that happen around Lambeau Field, I think have been great for the team in terms of making sure that kitty does not empty. And when you hit situations like a global pandemic, you're still going to be fine because you have so much money in your coffers in the reserves. He's done a tremendous job of that. But I think of the moment, the first time that I got to see him in this press conference setting after he had hired Goody, and then they go out and hire LaFleur. Like, how long did he talk before they actually got to the head coach whom they were having the press conference for? Like, he talked for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was a really long, really long time.
It was very confusing. And then you go from there and how the Aaron Rodgers stuff has been handled and him doing, he's a complicated fella, and then doing the thing that he did last week on the girls' state basketball tournament and now doing, oh, I'm sworn to secrecy. Like, anytime this guy steps into a microphone, he seems to make things worse for the organization.
That's a great question. Nice job, Jesse. Well done. I think that's a really good question. I would be curious where people stand on him, because we've spent a lot of time on this year's program figuring out where people stand on Rodgers, right? And we had another poll yesterday. It's close to 3,000 votes, I think, now. And once again, Aaron Rodgers not polling well. He's like a politician who's... approval rating is just not very high among the Packers fan base. It just isn't. But I would be curious where Mark Murphy's approval rating is, because you can be like pro moving on from Rodgers and not liking him, and you can also not be a fan of the way Mark Murphy approaches things. You can be both those things.
And this is a conversation that I know, and we're going to have Homer later, and I've got to ask you, you guys got into it yesterday, huh?
A little bit. He was a little difficult yesterday.
But one of the things when I used to host the show with Homer that we talked about quite a bit, and it was more around the Bucks than anything else, and ownership is important. Like, if you are looking to change the culture of an organization, usually it starts from ownership down. And yes, the Packers don't have an owner, but that president is the one who sets that tone. And I haven't had to think about the president for the majority of my life as a Packers fan. Like, it's great that Bob Harlan is a tremendous human being. Like, that is fantastic. But in terms of me being a Packers fan, the most important thing that he did was hire Ron Wolf and then just let Ron do his thing. And then that's the part that affects me more as a Packers fan than anything, letting Ron Wolf do his thing.
And then hired Ted Thompson when it was time to change leadership at the GM spot again.
Correct. And being able to identify those people. So that's obviously important. But then kind of stepping back and getting out of the way. Whereas when Herb Cole was the owner of the Bucks, they were constantly doing things like trading for J.J. Redick or trading for Gary Payton, where it seemed like he would get involved and it would be for the worst part of the organization. Now the Bucks, yes, you hear about Mark Lazary because he's selling the team, but you haven't heard much about Lazary and Edens since they've taken over, you know, outside of a story here and there. It doesn't seem like they're super involved unless they have to approve a big-time contract. And for the most part, it seems like they've been willing to do that, which is why the Bucks have had the success that they've had. These next 2 years, Jason, are, to me, really important. Well, I talked about yesterday about how I'm terrified of what's next for the Packers. And they're in a rebuild. That's just where they are. And if the ownership piece for the Packers, which for them is the president, and everything funnels through him, if he's fundamentally making wrong decisions, this rebuild isn't going to go well. And that's also what adds to my nervousness about what happens going forward, is just kind of the confusion and the disjointedness that seems to be happening within the administration part of 1265.
844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. I think it's a great question. Do you trust him to do the right thing? And because he changed the leadership structure, it is germane to the conversation. And not just Rodgers, but like you said, the rebuild process, everything that we are about to watch the Packers embark upon. He still has, as he felt the need to tell everyone, 2 more years before he reaches the mandatory retirement age, which, again, I don't think anybody was thinking about him and the mandatory retirement age or wondering if he might retire early, but he wanted to make sure everyone knew that he would be staying on until he reached the 70-year-old mandatory retirement age for the presidency, just like Bob Harlan reached it, and then they obviously had a issue with the transition of power, and he stayed on a little bit longer, leading to Mark Murphy. 844-770-3776. Do you trust Mark Murphy? That's as simple as your question gets, right?
Yep.
844-770-3776. We'll get to some of your calls. We'll get to your texts. Got a lot planned, including Homer with a special Tuesday appearance. I texted with him this morning. We're fine.
You guys are good?
Yeah, he seems to think, and we will get into this later, he seems to think that because the Packers won the Super Bowl in 2010, that the quagmire that they were in with the transition from Favre and what a mess it was that summer didn't matter at all. And I don't understand that line of reasoning, and so we got into it a little bit.
Okay. I mean, I've sat through some of those conversations where you and Homer get into it a little bit.
It's just, and again, we'll get to it a little bit later. That's more important than now. But if you look at the reality, it doesn't matter what the results were. It's what's going on in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And my struggle with that is Jordan Love needs all the help he can get in this transition, just like Aaron Rodgers did. It was not ideal for him, and this would not be ideal for Jordan Love if Aaron Rodgers comes helicoptering in at family night and still hasn't been traded to the Jets and everything gets messy. We will see if we get to that point. We'll talk to Homer later. But again, 844-770-3776. Do you trust Mark Murphy? We'll talk about that after we hear from Tausch talking about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Mark Tauscher here for Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. I know you guys are out there, you're saran wrapping your windows. You've been trying to fight the winter weather all year, keeping that money in. Don't let the draftiness get out and the cash flies with it. Now is the time to give Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin a call. The beauty of getting those new windows and doors from Pella is that you can customize to match your unique home decor. They'll paint them, they'll stain them, they'll leave them bare. Whatever you decide looks best, Pella will deliver. You can get 0% financing for up to 4 years. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends at the end of this month. Visit PellaWI.com today to get started.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
Yeah, and you know, we've got no other news really going on. Now, I would love to tell you everything you want to know about Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, but I'm under sworn secrecy not to say anything.
Is it possible he just thinks he's really funny and he wants people to laugh along? Like, when he speaks publicly, he wants people to like him and think he's funny. Like, he's like Jerry Seinfeld trapped in the body of a 68-year-old team president who played in the NFL. Like, he wants to think, because look, I think I can occasionally be funny. I don't think I'm funny. I'm not funny. I think he just thinks he's funny. He's a complicated fella. Like, I think he really likes, he wants to get laughs when he's
sure
at a podium.
Yeah, I mean, and hey, if you can get laughs, go ahead and get laughs. But yeah, this isn't, you know, groundbreaking material you're throwing out there. It's not that funny. Like, oh, I'm sure I've got information you'd like to know, right?
The poll question is in the field. It reads thusly. Today's Wildy and Tausch Twitter poll from our cousin sub of the day, Gabe Neitzel. From he's a complicated fella to his remarks at the WIAA girls basketball tourney to being, quote, sworn to secrecy, do you trust Packers CEO Mark Murphy to, if not say, do the right things? Because I do think it's fair to say, look, he says some stuff that he shouldn't. But when it comes to the future of the football operation, if he doesn't get in the way and screw it up, then it really doesn't matter that he goes down the sledding hill or he says goofy things out of context, right?
Yeah. No, and again, like this Letting Hill thing, that he's the businessman who put that together. He gets that moment. But when now he is affecting football operational things because of the way he has decided to set up the organization, yeah, I become a little bit more concerned when he starts to say things, and now he's actually going to have to do things and have decisions run through him where, you know, maybe earlier in the tenure, do you think that he had to get approval? Did Goody have to get approval to draft the quarterback? Did he have to go to Mark Murphy, or does Murphy trust him to do that? Like, every time Murphy opens up the microphone, I wonder how actually much involved he is in day-to-day. Like, what does he have to approve? What does he not approve?
That's a great question. And because the other question that would be the corollary to that was, who really decided that Rodgers had to be given the contract he was given last year?
Yep.
Because I still, in my bones, believe that Goody didn't want to give that to him. And I know, and as we mentioned Homer earlier, I know we'll talk to him later, he is convinced that a lot of this is Murphy-driven. And Murphy made the final calls on a myriad of things. And we know he made the final call. I mentioned this to you and Chewy and Ashton this morning. He made the final call on Matt LaFleur. Like, Goody and Russ Ball and the folks that were involved in their interviewing process, they wanted to have him come to Green Bay and do a second interview. And Murphy said, no, he's the guy. Now, three straight 13-win seasons, two berths in NFC Championship games, granted with a Hall of Fame quarterback. You know, I'm not saying that Matt LaFleur is a bad hire. Now, we're going to have a different opportunity to assess him in now the coming years, but I don't feel that way at all. I think Matt LaFleur seems like a pretty good coach to me, and I would like to see what he can do without an overbearing Hall of Fame quarterback who kind of pushed him around.
And here's where, yeah, maybe they ended up in the right result there, Jason, and maybe this is projecting some of the things that I like to do onto other people. But I am very much, and it probably goes back to my days of being a Division III college baseball player, very much more a process-driven person. Because in baseball, you have to be process-driven, because sometimes the results just aren't there. You hit four line drives that you just square up perfectly, but they're at somebody and you're 0-for-4.
Right.
You know, so it's more about if your process is correct, the results are going to come. But if the process is rotten, yeah, maybe you have some instant success, but that success is not going to be sustainable. It was more fortunate. So when you told me that this morning, that, yeah, the people wanted to do the process, and he did not want to really do the process. He had kind of made his decision and said, this is the guy we're going with. That makes me concerned that he doesn't want to go along with what the process is and should be when going through hiring important people in your organization.
844-770-3776. We'll get to some of your texts. I know Jesse's curated a lot of those. The poll is in the field, though, so be sure to vote on the Wildy and Tausch Twitter feed. I don't want to be biased on him, okay? And mm-hmm. I think between my affinity for Bob Harlan and the fact that, look, I don't say this. I don't want to sound like Aaron Rodgers. I'm not saying this to be a victim here. Because trust me, it doesn't really bother me. But I think it's a very interesting approach for someone in his position to take. Like, the time when he and I were about to come out of the gates together, leaving the Ray Nitschke practice field, and in order to avoid that, he went through the Hudson Center, so he would then go out a different gate farther away from me. And when we happen to be in the same parking lot and he veers to the other side as he's walking, he's clearly avoiding me.
Yep.
Like, unless, like I had with Bill Schrader at the grocery store recently, where he's right there. You don't have any choice but to say hello. that's his policy. Like, I would have, and again, I know I asked him a very pointed question in that press conference, but there's not a void in my life that I don't get to talk to him outside of press conferences. That I'm fine with that. Now, if I see, as I did last week, Bob Harlan leaving the Bay Park Square Mall in his truck going home after doing his mall walking because he's in his 80s and he gets his exercise. And I call
wait,
him.
Wait, hold on. Bob Harlan is now a mall walker?
He is, yes.
Good for him.
He's been one for a while because when the girls were little, we took them to a photography place in the mall and he walked by the window. And then he stopped and chatted and said hello to the girls because he's a great human being. So if he did not take my call after I saw him pulling out of the parking lot and we planned a lunch, I would be hurt. I am not sad that I don't have that relationship, but I am concerned that I allow my affinity for Bob and the fact that I find Mark awkward to influence whether I'm assessing him fairly. I don't want to unfairly assess him. So that's why I think this poll question and the question you ask is good. We'll get to some of your responses. 844-770-3776. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Six minutes, 238 votes. Gabe, you're in the Tausch seat today as our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. Do you trust Packers CEO Mark Murphy to, if not say, do the right football-related things? Yes or no? So I always ask Tausch to predict where the balloting is early on. Where do you think the balloting is currently, about now 8 minutes into the voting?
I'm going to say 65% of people saying no.
It's almost as if Tausch is here. 64% no, 36% yes. Well done.
Thank you. I've been a Packer fan all my life, Jason. I like to think that I'm familiar with how we feel as a fan base.
Sometimes Jesse, how are you voting?
That's higher than I expected. I guess I would vote yes, because as much as he has done, like, nothing has diminished the value of the organization, and they've remained competitive for all these years. Like, it just feels like the Favre situation and now the Rodgers situation are the things that collectively the front office, including Murphy at the top, have botched. But, I mean, is Mark Murphy more frustrating than Aaron Rodgers? No.
But he's the next one we have to deal with. Like, he's the next one in line. Like, and my big thing is he has a lot for me to overcome, for me to trust him to overcome what he decided to do with the organizational structure. Like, this was the way it was when the Packers stunk, right?
Correct.
Like, this is the way that it was when the Packers stunk. And I understand there are some organizations that decide to do this on their own as well, but the Packers stunk under this structure. And Bob Harlan decided to come along, and actually it was probably more Ron Wolf, that, hey, this is the way it's got to be, otherwise I'm not doing it. And Bob believed in Ron so much, he's like, okay, this is the way we're doing it. I'm going to handle the business, you handle the football, and we'll take it from there. And the Packers have had unprecedented success over the last 30 years because of the way that they decided to do this. So he decides, I don't know if he thought he fell asleep at the wheel with some of the things that went on with Ted health-wise, and maybe he should have been paying closer attention.
No, he helped cover it up. And again, and I would say this as a reporter, so did I. I'm guilty there. I knew that there were some concerns there, and I allowed my affinity for Ted to prevent me from doggedly going after that story. And I wasn't the only one that has covered the team for a long time that kind of made the decision that his health situation was private, even though it's a publicly owned team, and it was clearly affecting the functionality of the football side.
Okay, so that there's my theory goes out the window of why he decided that he needed to be the one in charge of all the football decisions and had everything funnel through him instead of funnel through the general manager the way it had been the 25 plus years before that. I just don't know why he decided to do this. That's what I want to know. And that's why I feel that your question was a fair one, Jason. And I don't think it was when you asked him what made him I'm trying to think of the word that you had used.
I think I said qualified.
Qualified. But and again, is that a strong question? Yes, but it's not an attacking question. It's just, hey, things have been like this. Now you're doing this. What makes you qualified to do this?
Right.
And he could have taken that and run. Well, he didn't have to take offense to it. Here's Jason. Here's why. And put everybody at ease. He decided not to do that. He decided to take offense to that, which makes me a little bit more concerned about him and his abilities to be the leader in the position that he has decided to put himself in. But I want to know why he decided to do this. Why did he decide, after all these years, that he needed to be more involved in the football decisions?
Especially when you consider, and this is where the benefit of history exists, that the Packers actually interviewed Ron Wolf in 1989 when they hired Tom Brotts, and it was Bob Harlan, who was the second in command at the time, who picked him up at the airport, who was wooing him, and then Ron Wolf learned that he would not have total control over the football operation, and he told Bob, nope, sorry. Forget it. It's a waste of time. And so we know how dysfunctional it once was. And again, having a great quarterback covers up so much. And one of the reasons why I am fascinated by what we're on the precipice of seeing, and again, if Jordan Love turns out to be the third straight Pro Football Hall of Fame quarterback, we won't find out. But I am fascinated to see how good everyone else is at their job when they don't have Aaron Rodgers. For the all the times, and you can criticize Rodgers for not playing well in some playoff games, for being a jerk, for being a know-it-all, whatever you don't like about him is fine, but you have to acknowledge that he has been the great deodorant. So whether you had assistants who stunk, you had players who stunk, you had a scheme that stunk, you had free agent signings that stunk, you had draft picks that stunk, he covered up that stink. He was a great deodorant. Not always, but most of the time. And so we're on the verge of finding out how good of a GM is Goody, how good of a coach is Matt LaFleur, how good of a president is Mark Murphy, all those things. We're going to find all those things out without Aaron Rodgers there, too. And he didn't do a great job of it last year. There's no doubt about it. But he's not there to cover that up. 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Let's start with the calls with Bubba in Kenosha. Bubba, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm fine. Thanks, guys. You just gave me another reason about Murphy. If he was able to step in for Ted Thompson when that happened, be very easy to oversee what was happening with Rodgers when Goody is there. So he's got to retire in 3 years. It's a forced retirement.
Not
so
soon
if
enough
you're,
for Gabe.
Well, right. And if you're him, what would you rather do? Go after a championship with Rodgers or be part of a rebuild? So to me, if anyone thinks that the final decision wasn't Murphy, I think is actually being a little naive. He's got an ego. You have to have an ego to be a professional athlete and a president of a corporation the size of the Green Bay Packers. He comes across as unassuming and kind of quiet, but I don't think a decision was made regarding Rodgers in the last 2 years that he didn't have the final say on.
Bubba, do you wonder if he had the final say then on the contract? Because, I don't have any proof of this. This is just my theory.
I think this was all Murphy. I think he even when Roger said he needed Cobb, I think Murphy would have gone to Goody and said, as long as it doesn't cost us too much, you need to do that because he's our quarterback and we needed to get him back in the fold.
Yeah, and Homer's on your team, Bubba. He agrees with you on that as well. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Yeah, Gabe, again, I don't know, and you try to ask these questions, you don't really get answers, and maybe there's a way to get them after he retires or after things bottom out or whatever's going to happen in the coming years. But those are among the questions that I would really love an honest answer to. Like, Goody, did you want to give Rodgers the contract you gave him last March? Or did you get your arm twisted? Because now as we fast forward a year, here we sit, and the question is, are they going to get a first-round pick for Rodgers or not? When a year ago you saw the haul, and it wouldn't have been quite as much probably, but you saw the haul the Seattle Seahawks got from the Denver Broncos for Russell Wilson. And you're not going to get anything even remotely close to that zip code for Aaron Rodgers now. That's the reality.
It would have been fascinating to see if they, I mean, to go back, if they would have actually traded him last offseason. Like, the stones it would have taken off of back-to-back MVP seasons, which is why everybody understood when they decided to re-sign him to a three-year contract extension. Oh, that makes sense. Dude just won back-to-back MVPs. And then he plays the way he does, like trying to pivot off the contract they gave him. Whoever decided to give him this contract would... Like, it's the first time in NFL history where the longer you hold on to someone, the more difficult it is to get rid of them. Right? Like, most contracts are front-loaded, and then you reach a point, much like Aaron Rodgers' contract was previously. When they drafted Jordan Love, the way the previous contract was structured, it made sense. Okay, 2 years from when Jordan Love was drafted, that's when the Packers have an out. They would have had an out in the previous contract. And now it's worse for the team if they keep him around for 2023. It's wild the way that this contract was structured.
Yeah, again, I hope someday to get some answers to that. What I will get are some more calls from you, 844-770-3776. We'll continue with those calls after Tausch tells us from his vacation about Coors Light.
Mark Tauscher here for Coors Light. Man, anytime I need to chill, I'm grabbing myself a Coors Light because it's brewed with a three-step cold process. Cold lagered, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged because it is made to chill. The mountains, oh baby, the mountains, they need to be blue. That's when you know Coors Light's cold activated bottles and cans are chilled to perfection. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Missed any of the show? Find us on Wisconsin On Demand wherever you get your podcasts. It's free, it's everywhere, and it's for you.
Yeah, and you know, we've got no other news really going on. I would love to tell you everything you want to know about Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, but I'm under sworn secrecy not to say anything.
Ho, ho, ho. He laughs like three different times there for his own benefit.
He thinks he's hilarious.
The polling, he's gaining votes. I don't know if it's the potato corridor that Tausch refers to or elsewhere.
Potato corridor.
It's now 36. It's now 63-37. So he's still not getting the majority, obviously, but he's doing better than I thought. I'm intrigued as to why.
Those are the people I want to hear from. The people that actually do trust him. I want to know why. Because he is not giving me... And again, I want to be as fair as I can with this question, but he has not given me any reason to go, oh yeah, he did this, this is why I can believe in this guy. This is why I think that he is 100% the right person with this right organizational structure to lead the Packers into the new era in Green Bay. Like, what has he done from a football standpoint? Again, business stuff aside, because the business stuff, I think, has been great. That, I don't think you can argue. When they go through the financials every July, that seems to be doing pretty good. It's from the football side of things that now I've got questions.
Although, in fairness, Ed Policy did most of the work on Title Towner, so it does make me also wonder about that. All right, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Let's go to Middleton and talk to Justin. Justin, good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning, gentlemen. Nice to hear from you again. And, as you guys well know, I'm originally from New Mexico. And so there, a lot of people root against the Dallas Cowboys. And I'm thinking of Mark Murphy makes me think very similarly of Jerry Jones. He does very much of the similar thing. You look at the Cowboys and their success back when they were winning the championships. And then, of course, he notoriously fired Jimmy Johnson and started getting involved in football operations. And you look at the results of the Dallas Cowboys since then, and it's been, it's been very much not good. And you see and hear similar things from Jerry Jones. You know, he's constantly undermining his coach. His coach will say something, yeah. And he says something else. And so that's why I think of Jerry Jones when I think of Mark Murphy.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Like, if I'm Mike McCarthy, and thanks for the call, Justin, Jerry Jones says things that makes my job harder.
Yeah.
Right?
Very, very, very frustrating.
Now, in fairness to Jerry Jones, he does own the team. Like, it is his money.
Yep.
Which is not the case with Mark Murphy, but they are in a similar role, obviously. And I would agree with Justin that, look, you can be really good at business, but you also can say things that don't help your people that are working for you to do their jobs as effectively as they need to. And I do think there are times where Mark Murphy says things. I would love, again, another example, I would love to get into Goody's garage, and he's having his Coors Light sitting in his garage, and I'm having a bubbler drink. And I would love for him to say, yeah, I really wish he hadn't said that on the basketball telecast. Because I personally believe that he was probably not happy about that.
No, because Goody was very careful, even though I think we all read between the lines.
No doubt.
You know, when Tim Van Voren of Fox asked him, do you want Aaron Rodgers to be your quarterback? And for the first time, Goody took like the diplomatic route of saying, oh, we got to make sure it's the right fit. When everything before that had been, well, he's our guy, you know, the answer would kind of wander around, but ultimately end up in the same spot of Aaron Rodgers is our quarterback. And that was the first time at the combine where it wasn't. And he had left that door open, so it kind of caught everybody's attention. But for Mark Murphy to just straight up say, oh, yeah, if you know, is there any way Aaron Rodgers ends up being the quarterback? Yeah, if our plans don't work out.
Right.
Oh, tell me how you really feel, Mark. Would you trade him?
If Aaron Rodgers asks for a trade, are you willing to honor it? Oh, yeah! Yeah, oh, yeah! Oh, yeah!
Just could not contain his excitement to answer in the affirmative of that question. So, like, Goody's trying to be diplomatic over there, and then he just gets torpedoed by his boss on a high school basketball telecast. That's just, it's never a dull moment with this organization, Jason. Which is why I have a hard time trusting this guy being the leader. Because, again, the next 2 years are so important. They can either lay the foundation of something going forward, or everything's going to blow up in their face.
844-770-3776. Let's get to one more call before the top of the hour, and then we'll do texts to kick off the 10 o'clock hour. Let's talk to Spencer in Minnesota. Spencer, good morning, buddy. How are you?
I'm all right. I guess it's never great after Mark Murphy talks. But, Jason, I have a theory I want to run by you. I've been thinking about this for years.
Ooh.
Well, I guess since 2018, but wow. Why Mark Murphy changed the power structure of the Packers.
Ooh, tell me more.
All right, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
2018, Ted Thompson fired, whatever, moves on, worked through that. Mark Murphy says publicly, whoever is going to be named GM is going to have the same type of role as Ted Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, going through that process, Tom Silverstein reports that Russ Ball is the front runner to be the GM of the Green Bay Packers. There's some public pushback because of this. Also, later on, Tom Silverstein reports that Mike McCarthy did not want Russ Ball to be the GM. Also, someone else, one Jason Wilde, said that Aaron Rodgers did not want Russ Ball to be the GM. So, Mark Murphy, trying to keep everyone happy, he changes what the president's role is going to be and what the GM's role is going to be. And I obviously don't know this, Mark Murphy and Russ Ball are kind of close. Isn't Russ Ball kind of his right-hand man?
Yeah, yep. Keep going.
So I think he promised him that peace, you know, that I think that either A, Mark Murphy changed the role of the president so that he can have more influence and have Russ Ball help him out, or also 2 years from now when he retires, he's going to push for Russ Ball to be the president of the Green Bay Packers. Along with that, there's even more evidence of this. Just a couple weeks ago, Rob Domofsky reports that this Brinker guy working in the front office is moving on to the Patriots or whatever team. However, in his tweet, he reports that it seemed like he was being groomed to be the next Russ Ball, who just signed a contract extension last year. So why would we be grooming this guy to be the next Russ Ball when Russ Ball is already there? And there's all these other things, too. I don't know. It seems like this was the easiest way that Mark Murphy could keep his buddy around and give him more power later on.
Spencer, your theory is very likely correct, I would tell you. I definitely think, and thanks for the call.
Yes. I think he was hoping that you were going to tell him. Like, I think he's excited that he figured this all out and his theory might be correct, but I think he's also depressed that his theory is also correct.
I believe very firmly that Mark Murphy wanted to do right by Russ Ball. Spencer is right that Tom Silverstein reported what he did about how Mike McCarthy felt about the possibility of Russ Ball being the GM. He's also right that I reported how Aaron Rodgers felt about the possibility of Russ Ball being GM. The irony is that I get the sense that maybe Russ Ball is the last remaining Aaron Rodgers stan among the people that work in that building. So that's ironic, which I find really intriguing. The bottom line is this. I do think he wanted to make it so Russ Ball was still in a very important role and that he got some sort of consolation prize because he really did want Russ Ball to be the GM. And so I do think Spencer's theory has merit. Whether or not it remained that, or if then once he got a taste of being in a little more of a power role, he decided to utilize that power, that's a question I can't answer. We'll get to some of your text messages on this subject from the talk and text line, 844-770-3776, when we kick off the 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch, and we will do that in 2 minutes. It's Wilde and Tausch.